Mom, look what I made.
What is this?
I made an ornament for the tree.
Oh, wow. Oh, baby, thank you. This is perfect for the tree. Ready to go?
Look, I made this ornament.
I love it. Oh, my gosh.
I made it before.
Really?
Yeah.
So cool.
Dad can get this tree back.
Oh, I really want to see that. All right, old man, let's see what you got.
Man!
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I got to go in, guys. I'm sorry.
You mind helping me out this year, buddy?
Yeah.
Love you.
Hey, babe, I'll go outside, start on the door.
Okay, dear.
Gotcha!
Girl, what are you doing? Hey, go get your sister.
Hey, wait!
Look.
It looks great. High five.
Fold that. Yeah, that, like, fold it
like
in. Fold it. Yeah, we go fold
and
it
then
in.
I can see
yeah.
Yeah,
I think so.
I think I'll be ready.
I think you will.
An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior.
He is the Messiah, the Lord.
And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby
wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger."
Mom!
Dad!
Good morning. Good morning.
Y'all know I was out there listening?
No.
No. I'm really proud of you.
I'm proud of y'all.
Thank you.
So what's next?
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel.
Well, Merry Christmas. I think the video team did a great job of showing the reality that is in the room, that all of us are coming to Christmas at different places. And some of you, this is an amazing, joyful time with your family intact. And others of you, maybe 2025 wasn't quite what you had hoped it would be. But we're all here, and we're all looking for hope. And we're grateful that you're here. My name's Josh, if I haven't met you before. I serve as the lead pastor here at Seacoast. And we are so honored that you came to worship and celebrate the birth of Jesus with us here at Seacoast. And I want to welcome all of you in the room, but also those of you who may be watching online, or maybe you're at one of our locations. And if you're new to Seacoast, or you're new in the last few months, we've expanded our church family in the last couple of months. We launched our Summer's Corner campus out in Somerville a few months ago. And then just this past weekend, we launched our newest campus at Seacoast Point Hope, which is off of Clements Ferry Road. Why don't we welcome all of our locations that are with us? We are glad you're here. Glad that you are here. Hey, can you think of a time where you heard an announcement that made a drastic impact on your life? I love a good announcement. You know, somebody's saying, "Hey, I got some news to share, got some information to give you." And what I know about announcements is that not all of them are the same. Each announcement carries different weight, and the person who's giving the announcement and how they give the announcement often is an indicator of how important it is for us to hear. I don't know about you, if you are my age or maybe around my demographic, when we were kids, we didn't have these smartphones in our pockets. We actually gathered in living rooms and we watched sitcoms together, TGI Friday, come on somebody, watched games together. And if there was an important announcement that had to happen, we would hear this sound. Come on. That's not dial-up internet right there. That is the TV. That is always followed by an announcement. And usually it was a test, right? This is a test. It's only a test of the emergency broadcast system. But it got our attention. It got us paying attention. Now, of course, we've got our cell phones. So you could be out on a hike. You could be anywhere in the world. You could be at work. And you hear this sound, right? I wish we had a camera in the foyer because they're freaking out there right now. Everybody's like, what's going on? You know, it's the wireless emergency broadcast signal, right, that lets us know that maybe an Amber Alert or it may be some form of an emergency, weather or whatnot, but it gets our attention and we pay attention. But not all announcements get our attention. I know that because at the end of this service today, no matter what campus you're in, campus pastor is going to get up and say, hey, I've got some important announcements for you before you go. And what do? You go, you leave. 60% of you right then, you get up and leave. So not all announcements carry the same weight. You know, some are routine. Some are very important. Some are life-changing. Some are really good news. I know we have a lot of kids in the service today. I know if you're a child, you could be at home doing your chores. You could be watching TV, doing your homework, whatever. But if you hear this sound, what does it mean? I see, all of a sudden, they woke up, the kids woke up, right? You go shake your parents down, you get some cash, and you don't even need to know where it is. It's just out there somewhere. You run outside, and you get you some ice cream. That's good announcements. And then there are bad announcements. I'll never forget being 12 years old, and my dad called out to the kids, hey, we're having a family meeting. We need to talk about something. And just by the tone of his voice, just the atmosphere in the room, you knew that what was coming next was not gonna be good. And he shared that our grandmother had passed away at 53 years old. And you know, I've had a few of those announcements this year in 2025. January started with the news that my uncle at 52 years old passed away unexpectedly, completely unexpectedly. Then we got an announcement a little bit later on in the year that dad had cancer. And again, maybe for you, that's been the kind of year that you've had. And you come into these holidays maybe carrying a bit of a heaviness. And if that's you, I just want you to know that you are in the right place because we're all here looking for hope. We're all here looking to find hope. But announcements, they're all different. But like I said, the nature of the announcement and who's giving it determines how carefully you listen. What does that have to do with Christmas? Well, did you know that the word Noel that we sing about in the Christmas season, do you know what it means? It means announcement. Announcement. And the first Noel was not a song that was sung. It wasn't a little ornament on a tree. It was an announcement, a cosmic announcement. God interrupted the humanity where we were with a cosmic emergency broadcast signal to say, hey, there is an announcement coming. And it's a part of the Christmas story. And it was the kind of announcement no matter who you are, it has the potential to change your life. Let's jump into the story in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Can you just imagine? Beep, beep, beep. It's like this is getting their attention. And they didn't know if it was a good announcement or a bad announcement. In fact, they thought it was a bad one because it says they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This announcement of good news that will bring great joy for all of the people. And you have to know that these shepherds, they were located in Bethlehem, which is in Israel. And up until that point, they had the scriptures that we now know as Christians to be the Old Testament, but they were waiting and longing for this coming announcement, this Savior, this Messiah. All of their scriptures had pointed towards someone who was going to come and rescue them, and they needed rescuing. They were living in a a place that was occupied by Roman occupation, and things were hard for them. Things were dark. And they had had so many of the prophets that had gone before them had spoken about this moment that it was going to come, but only one of them in specific mentioned a baby that would be born. And that was the prophet Isaiah. So I'm reading this story and you're like, how do they know? What is the good news? What does this mean for them? And you go back to the prophet Isaiah and it brings a little bit more understanding of why this is such good news for us and the potential that Jesus has to change and impact our lives. Isaiah wrote about 700 years before that moment in Bethlehem, and he talked about this coming Messiah, and he was writing to a very dark world. They had already been torn up by civil war. They were divided into two nations at the time. They were facing threat of war from Syria. They had corrupt leadership, a lot of fear and uncertainty about their future. Does that sound familiar? Well, let's see what the prophet Isaiah said about this coming Messiah. In verse 6 of chapter 9, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." How do we know that they were prophesying about a future Messiah? Because every other king that had gone before them, their government and their peace, some of it was good, some of it was bad, but all of it came to an end at some point. But this promise, this announcement that was coming from heaven is of a king, a leader whose peace will never end and whose peace is available for us today. Four things that I notice about this heavenly announcement. Number one, he announces a counselor who understands us. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. You know, when life gets confusing, and let's be honest, for all of us, it does from time to time. We all go to different people for advice. We go to different sources for advice. We're looking for how to make sense of all of it. And the problem is that many times we go to the wrong people for advice. We don't get wonderful counsel, we get bad counsel. Anybody ever had a broke person trying to give you financial tips? You know, it's like, thank you, I appreciate the sentiment, but, or maybe you're going through some marriage difficulties and you've got somebody who's giving you advice who's been divorced 4 or 5 times. And again, we're not judging that person, but it may not be the best source of advice on marriage. I was so good at giving parenting advice before I had kids. I'd see people at restaurants, their kids are acting out. I'm like, come on, man, give me 5 minutes with this family. I will straighten them out. And then we had kids, right? And it's like, oh my goodness, what is going on? You know, some of us, we don't just need Jesus to return. We just need to stop taking advice from bad counselors, because then things that are confusing get more confusing, right? And problems get more complicated when you get bad advice. I remember when my son Miles was 7 or 8 years old. He's 18 now, which is crazy. But when he was 7 or 8 years old, we started to notice a little bit of a problem around our house. And the problem was that candy would start disappearing. And it became more and more of a problem. And it almost became like an epidemic of missing and stolen candy. And we would find little candy crime scenes all over the house. You'd find a guest room, bathroom. There'd be the trash can would be full of these empty wrappers. Up in his bedroom, near his pillow, underneath his mattress, we'd find these Reese's wrappers and candy wrappers. And so we knew what was going on, but he thought he was getting away with it. And so I came up with a plan. I'm like, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get some of these wrappers. I'm gonna put them in my pocket. And then I'm just gonna go up to him and I'm gonna say, hey, Miles, we've got a little problem. Some candy's been missing. And do you know anything about it? And I knew that he would probably lie to me about it. And then I would have a gotcha moment where I would pull the wrappers out and be like, see, son, I know. I found these under your mattress. I thought it was a great idea. And I remember talking to one of my parenting mentors. His name's Rich Young. He's still a parenting mentor in the church. We were in the foyer and I was telling him what was going on. I was like, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna just catch him in that lie, and it's gonna mark him, and then we're gonna have consequences. And he goes, so let me get this straight. You know he's been stealing the candy. I was like, I'm 100% sure he's been stealing it. He said, okay. He said, you know he's gonna lie to you when you go confront him about it. And I said, I'm 99.5% sure, based on the character of this young sinner, that he's gonna lie to me. And he said, I'll never forget what he said next to me. He said, Josh, why would you want to set your son up for failure? Like, why approach it that way? And I was like, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, yeah, if you do that, it's going to be embarrassing for him. He's going to get consequences, and maybe you'll get his behavior to improve for a short period of time. But what if instead of going after his behavior, you went after his heart? And what if instead of having a gotcha moment with him, what if you just approached him and said, hey, I know the truth. I know what's been happening. And let's talk for a few minutes about honesty and dishonesty and how it impacts relationships. I value my relationship with you as my son, but when there's dishonesty, it harms trust and it harms relationship. And he said, man, if I were you, I'd probably go after his heart, because when you get his heart, you generally get the behavior too. And it was one of those moments where I was like, wow, that was good counsel. I needed to hear that. And it changed the way I parented my son and my daughters. Because it got me from, man, if I could just get them to behave, to, man, if I can make sure I have his heart. And now fast forward, he's 18 years old. And guess what? He still steals candy from time to time around the house. But we've got his heart. And God has his heart. Good counsel can make a big difference in how we navigate the hard things in life. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. Not only that, what I've learned over time is the reason I was parenting him like that is because that's how I thought God operated towards me. I thought he was just waiting for me to get caught in my own sin. And it's like, man, a much better approach is just to be honest. Like, this is where I'm at. This is where I struggle. This is where I fall short. And you find a God who leans in, who is actually much more concerned with our heart than our behavior. Because again, when he has our heart, then our desires change and our behaviors eventually change. Jesus, it's good news. The announcement can change your life because he is a wonderful counselor. He's not only a wonderful counselor though. The second thing that heaven announced was a God who's powerful enough to save us. He continues, he says, he will be called Mighty God. He's not just a good counselor, he's powerful. The Hebrew word that's used there is El Gibor, and it literally means a God-like hero. It describes a divine warrior. See, Israel was in a rough spot with enemies around them, and they needed a hero. They needed more than just good advice. They needed a strong God, a God who was powerful. And some of us are facing situations that feel bigger than what we can solve. Like we don't have the ability to change our circumstances. We don't have the ability to fix what's broken in our bodies or the addiction that maybe you've found yourself stuck in. We can't solve that on our own. We need a God who is powerful. And Jesus isn't just wonderful counselor. He is Mighty God. Christmas reminds us that the baby in the manger has the power to heal, to restore, to forgive, to make things new, to set us free. As Jesus grew into his ministry, when he would preach and when he would minister to people, often what was said about him is they were in awe, not at his good looks, not at how smart he was, but with the authority that he carried, the power that he had. People literally were healed. And we believe that he still heals today. In fact, we see it happen time and time again. It's good news. Jesus is powerful. He's Mighty God. Where do you feel powerless to solve a problem in your life? I've been praying specifically that people would experience Mighty God this Christmas. That we wouldn't just go through the motions and do the cool things that we all enjoy doing about Christmas, but that we would come into the presence of a Mighty God who can move powerfully in our lives. He's a counselor who understands us, a God powerful enough to save us. He's also a father who will never leave us. He will be called the Everlasting Father. For some, I know the word father brings comfort, memories of a dad who was there for you and seemed to always have the right things to say and the right advice. And for others of us, the word father brings up emotions of hurt or pain or loss. Maybe you lost a father. Maybe you had a father that may have been present physically, but not really there or available emotionally for you. Or maybe you had a father who wasn't there at all. And that word can evoke a lot for us. But this name, Everlasting Father, it's not talking about the third part of the Trinity, the Godhead. It's talking about the characteristics of Christ, which is that he's everlasting. He is consistent. Jesus is not temporary. He's not seasonal. He will never walk away. He's faithful, constant, and present in our lives. Where does life feel unstable for you? Maybe you come into this holiday season feeling alone or abandoned. There is an announcement, Noel, coming from heaven, breaking into your regularly scheduled programming to tell you, you have an everlasting Father who will never leave you or never forsake you. And then the fourth thing that the prophet Isaiah tells us about Jesus, the Messiah, is that he's a king who brings peace. He's a king who brings peace. He will be called Prince of Peace. You know, everybody wants a little bit more peace, especially at Christmas, don't we? I mean, there's so much anxiety and uncertainty and even hostility in the world and sometimes at our own tables. Just long for more peace. But let's be honest, Christmas doesn't always bring more peace, does it? I mean, sometimes it can only pour fuel on the fire of the anxiety and of the fear and of the crazy. You're juggling schedules, your family dynamics, your finances, the Amazon deliveries that you hope will be there when you get home from Christmas Eve service, right? You know, we're trying to be joyful, but we're also navigating that relative. Don't point. You know who I'm talking about. It's a lot that goes on. We keep telling ourselves that once things slow down, I'll have peace. But peace doesn't come when life gets quiet. Peace comes when Jesus gets close. And nobody's more qualified to bring peace to our lives than that Messiah who was born in Bethlehem. Let's go back to the fields for a minute, those shepherds. You know, we do trips to Israel, which we haven't been able to do in a while, but we're going back this fall. I'm so excited to lead a team there. We'll give you more information later. But what you learn when you go visit sites like Bethlehem is that Bethlehem is about a 10 to 15 minute drive from Jerusalem. It's kind of a suburb of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is where the temple was, and the temple is where they would offer sacrifices. And so many scholars believe that these shepherds that were shepherding in these fields weren't just ordinary shepherds raising ordinary sheep, but part of what they did is raised the Levitical sacrifices, the unblemished lamb that would end up being used in this sacrificial system. And again, if you've ever read the Old Testament, it can be confusing at times, but in order to make us right with God, there had to be a sacrifice made for our sin. And if a lamb was gonna be sacrificed, it had to be without blemish. And so when they would have one of these unblemished sheep that was born, if it didn't have any faults or any flaws, they would quickly swaddle them in clothes to keep them from hurting themselves. Now, dads, we don't do a whole lot in the first few months of our kids' lives, but we know how to swaddle, right? We wrap them up tight. Why do we do it? Well, kids, maybe it's to bring comfort, but it's also to keep those little hands from scratching themselves or scratching their eyes. And so they would wrap up these sheep so that not to make them comfortable, but to keep them safe, to keep them unblemished. And so when that angel said to those shepherds, a Messiah has been born, and you're gonna find him in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, that would have meant something to them. They would have immediately known, oh, this isn't just a normal, ordinary child. This is a child that wasn't born to live, it was actually born to die. It was born to be a sacrifice. Because the only true way to peace with God was for sacrifice to be made. But thank God, because it was a price that none of us could pay on our own, that Jesus was born as the Lamb of God that he would live a sinless life and he would grow up. 33 years later, he would go back to Jerusalem and he would end up dying as a sacrifice so that now we can be free. We can have peace with God. That's why it's good news of great joy, that Jesus came to give us peace. There is no other qualified to bring the kind of peace that we are looking for. So the first Noel, it wasn't just an announcement of a birth. It was an announcement of a rescue. The counselor had come. The mighty God had come. The everlasting Father had come. The Prince of Peace is here. And he's still here today. Today, the question isn't whether Jesus was born. The question is, will we receive the peace that he came to offer? I love John 1 and verse 12. Just simplifies it. He says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Friends, is Jesus just a name that you've heard, maybe acknowledged during the Christmas season? Or is Jesus the Savior that you've received? My hope and my prayer for all of us as we take just these few moments of quiet before we jump into what I hope is an incredible time to you and your family is that we would all reflect on that question, and that if you haven't, that you would receive the Savior, the Messiah, the peace. Would you bow with me as we close in prayer? And if you're here today and you would just say, man, I need to receive that peace. I need to receive Jesus, the wonderful counselor. I want to pray with you and for you. And I would even just ask that you would pray this prayer in your own way. It's not so much about the words that you say, but it's about the posture of your heart. Let's pray. Jesus, tonight, we receive you. We believe that you came for us. God, I believe that you lived and that you died and that you rose again so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be made new, so that we could be set free. So today we give you our lives. Lord, we're gonna stop trying to figure all of it out on our own. We need your counsel, God. Lord, there are circumstances and things that we're facing that we cannot move on our own. Would you show up as mighty God? Bring healing. We thank you that you're constant, that you're everlasting. Would you remind us of your presence in the big moments and the small moments? And God, we acknowledge you as the Prince of Peace. And we ask that you would bring peace in our lives and in our world. We honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen.